Susan taught 2 weeks ago on whenever those life events happen that you're not expecting, and I've had a few of those. So we're going to talk about that tonight. But I want to start by talking about the cornerstone of my foundation during that season. And I had taught a message on Elijah at the Brook of Kereth. And it was one of those messages that just really was revelation to me, and it really stuck with me. And it was probably because of what I was going to be going through, and that was a word that I needed before I got to that. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 1 through 16 is what I'm going to read. And if I say a name wrong, it's the fault of the Bible app, because I went to the Bible app to make sure I was saying them right. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Kereth, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Kereth, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Now what I grabbed a hold of whenever I first did this lesson was, he said, "I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." That had already been established. He didn't say, "I'm going to." He said, "I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." It was already done. The provision was in front of him before he ever got there. And the same thing whenever the widow woman, he had same words, he had already done it. It wasn't going to be, it already was done. The provision was in front of them. that was on my heart very strong at the time when all of this started going on in my life. At the beginning of July in 2017, after 30 years of marriage, my husband decided he did not want to be married to me anymore. And as Susan said, whenever those circumstances come against you, you're either on sand or you're on a foundation. Well, I'll be real honest, I felt like I was an astronaut and I was floating in the air, because I was just numb. I was shocked, and there was several days, probably even a week, that I was so emotional. Yes, I was coming to work. I was crying. I was all of that stuff. Thankfully, I had great coworkers that helped me through it, and I kept on going. And eventually, I got back on my foundation, because I did have a foundation. And the word was already in front of me, and the provision was already there. I just had to get back on my foundation. So I did that. I started leaning on God. I would get in my car when I would leave work, and I would immediately start praying, start talking to God. I would get home at lunch, and I would start watching teaching videos, and I would come back to work, and my work is listening to the word, but there's a difference, because when I'm listening at work, I'm listening to edit. So I'm listening to find the bloopers and the sniffs and the uhs and the all of those things that I cut out of the teaching. So I'm not soaking in the word. And there is a difference. And it pretty much like when I'm putting my makeup on in the morning, I'm listening to a message and I might get a nugget, I might get a piece. But I'm putting on my makeup, and I'm doing other stuff, answering text messages, whatever, and I'm not fully concentrating on what I'm hearing. That's what I was doing. When I got in my car, when I got by myself, I was giving it my all, everything, because that's what I had to have. Yes. That was the only way I was going to get through what I was going through. This was the very beginning of July. It was the first week, and he moved out that weekend, and 2 weeks goes by, and we go to camp at the end of July. Well, the week before we go to camp, we do food. So we're in the kitchen cooking, me and my girls, and I start having these weird symptoms, and I couldn't even, like, say what they were. I just felt weird. And I checked the blood pressure, the blood sugar, you know, those things that you normally do. Everything was okay. And they were temporary. They, you know, they would come and then it would go. And I think it only happened maybe twice or something like that. And so next week rolls around and we go to camp. And love camp. Makes me feel like life's normal again, because I'm doing my thing and getting taught the word every night, and everything is just going good. We get home from camp, and at camp, we in the kitchen are on our feet almost all day long. We go to bed about midnight or 1 o'clock, and we're up by six getting ready for breakfast. And now we do stop and eat and, you know, have an hour off here and there doing that, but our bodies are exhausted when we come home. So I usually, my routine is I lay on the couch, take a nap, and then I go to my tub and soak in my tub. So I do my usual routine, and I get out of the tub, and I'm kind of having that feeling again, and I look in the mirror, and one of my pupils is bigger than the other. And so at that time, Kaylee was working the night shift at the hospital at labor and delivery. And so I called her, and I'm like, something's really weird. One of my pupils is bigger than the other. And she's like, Mom, you better go to the ER. I said, no, I'm not doing that. And she said, well, if you feel like it, then come down here and let us at least look at you. So I did that. I went down there to the hospital and went up to her where she was. And her and, you know, the nurses flogged me. And so they look at me, and they're all, you know, you need to go, you need to go. Nope, I'll go in the morning, but I'm not going to the ER. I'll go to the clinic in the morning. So I went to the clinic, went to the doctor, and he was a good doctor, and he didn't have any idea. But he wanted me to go get a CT scan so that they could make sure it wasn't, you know, anything, stroke or anything like that. So I agreed to do that, went and did that. The CT scan was fine. The doctor at the hospital, I'll just say he made me mad. So I left and called my mom. Well, I was actually talking to my mom while I was at the hospital. She works for eye doctors, and at that time she did. And so one of her doctors agreed to meet us at the clinic at Conway on a Saturday. So that he could check me out. So we went down there and did that, and he did not know either, but he did give me some peace of mind in saying that because the CT scan was okay, they've ruled out any of the bad stuff. So that at least gave me a peace of mind. Well, the doctor I had seen at the clinic and my eye doctor both had follow-up appointments because they both wanted to know what was going on. And so I went back to the doctor in the clinic, and he still was bewildered. And I went back to the eye clinic. Well, before I went back to the eye clinic, I was sitting in church one Sunday morning, and Bob was teaching. And all of a sudden, there was two of him, and I had double vision. And that happened, and then it went away, and then it was getting pretty regular to where it was happening quite a bit, like even driving. And I didn't drive very much. I drove to work and home, and that was it. And there would be multiple lines on the road. So it was very difficult. And my eyelid drooped, which made me have to look out the bottom of my eye. So it was real hard to drive. And by this time, it's time for the eye doctor appointment follow-up. And so when I go to see him and I tell him I'm having double vision, then he thinks he knows what it is. And he said he thinks it's ocular myasthenia gravis. Well, that was totally foreign to me. I had no idea what that meant. And Kaylee, being in the medical world, she was with me. I highly recommend if you're doing any medical, anything, that you have a person go with you every time you do something, because you need a second set of ears and a second set of eyes. I did learn that from the support group, and I do that. So she told me when he walked out of the room, she said, that's what Vicki Henderson had. Well, I didn't know her personally, but I knew her experience from other people. And I knew it had been debilitating to her, and that she was not even being a doctor anymore because of it. So immediately fear tries to come, but that was really not a deal for me. Because I knew that that was not going to be a part of me. And that was established. That was my foundation. So I was not concerned. And I'm not even looking at my notes, so I don't even know where I'm at. So he sends me to a specialist at Little Rock to confirm that is what it is, because he wasn't going to put me on medication until they confirmed what it was. Myasthenia gravis is rare. And there is so many multiple kinds that there's really not testing for all of it. There's testing for three kinds, and then if you don't fall under those categories, you're considered a negative, which is what I was labeled. They did confirm it through the test that he does for the ocular They do prisms and all kinds of different things to test. And he did declare that I did have that, or did confirm it. So they put me on medication, which took care of the symptoms. And the droopy eyelid still was there a little bit, but not to where I had to, you know, do the head back to be able to see. And then after, let me find myself, y'all. Okay. Myasthenia gravis is an autoimmune disorder. That means your body is literally attacking itself. The nerves send messages to the muscle, the voluntary muscles, and tell it to operate. Well, it stops that signal from going to the muscle. So basically, God made our bodies to heal themselves. And this is something that directly comes against what God put in my body. So I got angry because I knew that God made my body to heal itself. So that's not right. I mean, that is just wrong. And even to this day, I still get real mad when I hear people talk about autoimmune disorders because it's so wrong. So while all that's going on, I still have my marriage that I'm fighting for. And I feel like that is my priority. So I am working on that part. God had, at some point at the first part of July, God had given me a vision. And it was David and I together. And that gave me a supernatural faith through the whole thing, that I knew that at some point we would be back together. And I just knew it. I never doubted it. And I know that vision was a big part of why I did not ever doubt that. So here I am going through this situation. I am, every minute I can, I'm spending it with God. I'm praying. I'm watching teaching videos. I went through a self-evaluation. I started making changes and renewing my mind to thinking right. And God started dropping a word periodically in me. And the first one he dropped in my spirit was endurance. So I started, and I immediately felt like it was confirmation because I knew I was sitting by the brook and this was the ravens dropping me a morsel. And so I immediately started to study on endurance, and I did that. And after some time, the next word he dropped in my spirit was power. And so I started studying Rick Renner's teaching on Ephesians 6, and I just listened to it over and over and over and over again. And I just kept sitting by the brook and kept waiting on the morsels. He gave me many words, but I didn't document all of them. But there was probably four or five words that he would just drop in my spirit, and I would just start studying, and I would just start digging into whatever that word was. And when it came, that I dropped what it, you know, whatever I'd been doing, I went to the next one. Every step, we just kept going. Then I started fasting. And I would fast for 1 or 2 days, and I would fast for other people because I wanted to sow seeds. And so I had done a lot of repenting. And I knew that there was a lot of bad seeds that I needed to dig up, and that I was going to have to replace them with good seeds. So I got real creative, because when David left, he would not have anything to do with me. So I had to get real creative. I shouldn't take the credit. I should say God helped me. The Holy Spirit did. I sent him gifts. I just order something from Amazon and have it shipped straight to him. At one point, he had asked for some of his clothes that he had left. So I washed them, dried them, and then I laid hands on them and anointed them just like we do the handkerchiefs. And I sent him cards. I took pictures of cards that he had given me, declaring his love for me to remind him how much he loved me. I made a vision board, and I put pictures all around it. I had scriptures, just full of scriptures. I read it daily. It was in my bedroom every day. I read those scriptures, sometimes twice a day, morning and night. In Matthew 6, 33 through 34, I know y'all think I'm not going to have scriptures, but here you go. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I was growing in the Word, and I was so, so hungry for him. I was consumed by him, and I felt like I was one with him. And there's a difference whenever you are that hungry and you are digging that hard for something. And I got to that place because I was feeding on it and I was listening to it. I was hearing the Word constantly because I was reading, hearing, teaching, songs. I was constantly hearing. What you hear is so, so important. So, so important. And I was listening to a particular song almost every time I got in my car. And it was called Warrior, and it was by Hannah Kerr. And this song gave me energy. It gave me fight. It gave me courage. And I want y'all to see the words to that. Dylan's getting that for us. Staring down the face of fear, gotta keep breathing. When the negative is all you hear, gotta keep believing. Next one. 'Cause in the dark, there is a light, the truth that keeps on burning bright. Brave enough to fight the fight and shout the battle cry. And I did that a lot. Third one. You'll never stop me. I'm a warrior. When I fall down, I get stronger. Faith is my shield. Your love is the armor. I'm a warrior. Every scar on my skin is a beautiful reminder of a moment when I didn't give in and a walk through fire. 'Cause in the dark, there is a light. That truth that keeps on burning bright makes me brave to fight the fight and shout the battle cry. I will keep the hope alive. I will find the strength inside. I will keep the hope alive. I am a warrior, and I will survive. I was listening to this almost every time I got in my car, and numerous times, because that helped keep me built up. And the words that you're hearing, like I say, I can't say it enough, I don't guess. It's so important, because there is negative. There is so much negative. For instance, I went to my attorney. Well, of course, I work for an attorney. I know what he's going to say. You're not going to get back together. Well, I got to deal with that. Well, I listen to my song on the way there and when I leave, because it cancels out what he just said. I encourage you to find a song, find scriptures, pray, you have to have an arsenal whenever you're in a battle. If you don't know how to pray, I highly recommend this book, Jemaine Copeland, and it's Prayers That Availeth Much. There is pretty much any topic that you can imagine is in this book. If you don't know the word, it has all the scriptures. It has the prayer, and then it has all the scriptures. Read the prayer, but read the scriptures. So you know where it came from, so you can put it in your heart. Another step I took was writing in a victory journal. We learned this from my redhead friend that's in heaven. She taught, I don't know, about 10 of us, I guess, about her victory journal. So I had a victory journal, and so I made a post in or put a message in there. It's not a post because, look, I handwrote it. I put one on the day that David left. I'm not going to tell y'all exactly what I put, but it was the end result was that we would be back together. And then on the day that I was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis, ocular myasthenia gravis, I wrote, this was on August the 14th of 2017. Today, the diagnosis I received was confirmed. It was OMG, that's what I called it, because at the time it was real hard for me to say all that. I know my I am.
That's right.
Yeah. He healed me. I am redeemed, and I say so. This diagnosis is not a part of me. I have spoken the word over my body, and it is healed in the name of Jesus. Also today, I make the decision to work on being the best wife I can be. I will be a giver and not a taker. That was my declaration on the day that I got the diagnosis. January of 2018, which was, six months after I was diagnosed, the staff, went to Hot Springs for the Christian Ministries ministry team meeting. And we have communion with our church. And Susan was laying hands on everyone. And when she got to me, she had Mark lay hands on me. And Mark laid hands on me, and I received instant healing from OMG. Instant. I didn't take any more medicine. I didn't have any more problems with my eyes. And the way my God works, it's abundance, so I didn't have to wear glasses anymore. He took care of my vision on top of that. So about 9 months from the time that David had left, we did get back together. We were together about a year, and then he wasn't ready again. Today, we are friends. We have a very good relationship. We talk to each other pretty much daily. He's at my house on Sundays for family lunch. And we are in that season. That's where we are. In 2020, I started having trouble swallowing. I denied what was going on. And let me tell you, denial is not faith. And people tend to think that by denying it, they are standing in faith. You better know what you're doing. Because denial is not faith. And I was in denial. I finally got to the point where it was being a bother, and I had to go see my neurologist. And he immediately diagnosed me with generalized myasthenia gravis, which means it had moved from my eye to my body. And in the natural, that is typically what happens. And I was determined I was not typical, and that was not my diagnosis. And I would stand in front of the mirror and I would say, "You're a liar. That is not mine." And God healed me from that. And that was my stance. I did have hands laid on me for it multiple times, and I did not receive my healing at that time, and I convicted myself because I thought I should have it instantly because I had it instantly with my eye. So it was my fault that I didn't get, because I was expecting it instantly and I wasn't accepting something that could happen gradually. So in November of last year, 2024, Karen laid hands on me in ladies Bible study and anointed my throat with oil, and I quit half my medicine and I moved my IV treatments to 10 weeks instead of 8 weeks, and I expect to continue on that journey of a little bit less, a little bit less, and my body continuing to do what it's supposed to be doing and standing on the word. So to summarize all of that story, the most important thing, turn to God. And I mean face to face. Face to face, that intimate relationship, face to face. Who you surround yourself is vital, vital. Praise God for my family and for my friends, because they were so strong in keeping me up. And my coworkers, which are my friends. God even worked a provision in that field of friends as well. I had reconnected with a friend from the past before this ever happened. And he became one of my strong people during that time. I didn't live here. He'd call me on the phone, check on me. I'd call him. And that was just another one of those provisions that God set in front of me, because he imparted a lot of wisdom to me when all that was going on. Hear the word as much as possible. Because when you're hearing the word, you're blocking out that other stuff. And so you have to put as much in as you can. And listen for God, because he's going to, just like those words he would drop in my spirit, he's gonna reveal things to you, steps for you to take to get to your end result. The fifth one is sow seeds. Sow seeds. Amen. He gives seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians 9:10-11. He gives seed to the sower. I wrote on my mirror, what and where is my seed for today? And I did that. I was sowing seeds constantly for my health and for my marriage. Praise God. I would get in my bedroom and I would shut my door and I would turn my music on so loud that it blocked everything else out. And I would dance and I would get undignified. Just like David did in 2 Samuel 6:21-22. And fast. It changes you. It does. Declare your end result. And don't quit. Galatians 6:9-10 in the Message Bible. It says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up and quit. And my final scripture is Ephesians 5:1-2. And this is out of the Message Bible. I really like the way it was worded. It says, watch what God does and then do it. You do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loves us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Yeah. I feel like I went through the fire, but I was very successful. Amen.